Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
It's never been more important to diversify your financial portfolio.
Well, that's right. The S&P is down 20% from the last year, and this year looks even worse.
Gold and precious metals offer a hedge against inflation and stock market volatility. And Legacy Precious Metals is the company Ken and I trust.
Protect your retirement account by rolling it into a gold-backed IRA or have metals shipped directly to your door.
Call our friends at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or visit buylegacygold.com.
When it comes to a thriving career, everyone could use a little support, especially when it comes to transitions. At LHH, we help every step of the way. We're committed to personalized support, insights, and resources that lead to more job opportunities than ever before. No matter what role a professional has in your organization, our services offer an experience that fits each person individually. And for organizations, LHH provides consultant support and guidance through the entire outplacement or career transition process, understanding the sensitivity and impact on your team. The world is full of new possibilities, and we help both organizations and individuals realize the possibility of what's next. It's outplacement reimagined. Visit LHHtalent.com. That's LHHtalent.com to get in touch with an outplacement consultant today, because everyone and every organization could use a little support, especially when it comes to transitions. LHH, helping you every step of the way. Visit LHHtalent.com.
Coming up later, oh, Ken's away today. Coming up later in the hour, we are going to talk about something that I just know something's going on. Something's going on out there. Deborah sensed it, and
it's not getting better.
It's not getting better, and you people who are engaging in it, we are now on to you, and I'm going to come and get you because you are driving me up a wall.
Every last one of
you're making me crazy. You don't want to work and do your job properly. Just go home, get out of there. But I'll give you the details coming up. However, we have to gloat over this. Much of what goes on in California, goes on in California, makes no sense to people outside the state. And you know this. Well, many of you have moved. We have an ever-growing population who listen to the podcast. I mean, I actually saw the cities and states where people are listening to our show, and I was kind of shocked. And I'm thinking, these are all people who moved there. They got out of California, and now they want to hear about the whole place going to hell after they fled. So you know that in other states, there's no such thing as the nonsense we put up with here. And in Virginia, apparently a lot of people didn't know that the old governor, Democrat Ralph Northam, that name isn't familiar. Remember the governor who was found posing in blackface in his yearbook and admitted to it and apologized, and then the next day denied it was him. That guy, Northam, last year he signed legislation in Virginia tying Virginia's emission policies to whatever the California Air Resources Board mandated. Follow me on this. Whatever the California Air Resources Board said, the state of Virginia would follow. Not the Virginia Air Resources Board, the California Air Resources Board. This is this wacko agency that's been empowered by the legislature and the governor. These are unelected people. Most of us don't know their names. Even if I read their names and I could, you'd forget them in 15 seconds. Although it might be interesting to start going into these people's biographies. They're the ones who decided, 2035, no more gas-powered cars can be sold. Just an edict. And this constantly strikes me as wrong, because this should come directly from a legislature and the governor, and then they should run on this issue. And if they pass it without running on it, then they should deal with the consequences after they pass it. But there should be consequences from the public for this, and it should be thoroughly aired out in a public hearing. Not that you're just bumbling along and one day you find out you can't buy a gas-powered car anymore. Now, no other state is doing this. No other state. But it turns out that Virginia passed this law last year that they would follow whatever California does. Well, the new governor, Glenn Youngkin, he learned last week what's going on and said, in an effort to turn Virginia into California, liberal politicians who previously ran our government sold Virginia out by subjecting Virginia drivers to California vehicle laws. Now, under that pact, Virginians will be forced to adopt the California law that prohibits the sale of gas and diesel-fueled vehicles. When you just read something like that out loud, you realize how preposterous it is. It's a California law that wasn't even passed by the California legislature, wasn't signed by the governor. It's this group of weirdos who run the California Air Resources Board, and we have no choice, supposedly, but Virginia residents have no choice? Now, I bet you not a single resident knew this had happened. Maybe they heard something about following, you know, emission standards from California, but they didn't know that would result in you can't buy a gas-powered car. Now, Virginia is one of those split states, swings back and forth between the two parties. There doesn't seem to be any overwhelming desire there to rid themselves of their gas-powered cars. It's not quite the Deep South like Mississippi, and it's certainly not the Northeast. But, you know, even in some of the wackier Northeast states like New York and New Jersey, they don't have this. So he says the House Republicans will advance, this is the Virginia House, will advance legislation to put Virginians back in charge of Virginia's auto emission standards and its vehicle marketplace. Virginia is not and should not be California. Now, you know, his stance here, I'm sure he's against the idea of getting rid of gas-powered cars. But greater than that is, how the hell could we be tied to what California says? And not even elected officials in California, but a bunch of randos who run CARB, and they're 3,000 miles away? I mean, that is nuts. That is really cracked. I mean, now he can get this introduced in the Assembly, and it may pass the Assembly. I've got to look up, well, I know that the Senate has a one-seat majority. It's 21-19 Democrat. So one seat flips, you got 20-20, two seats flip, and you have Republicans. I don't know how many of them are up for re-election. if any, but you might be able to pick off one or two. I can't believe there are many Democrats in Virginia that want to run on getting rid of gas-powered cars because California says so. If you're going to do this in Virginia, at least you take responsibility. And this is the thing. You know there's a lot of people hate this. And that's why the California legislators have hid behind the skirts of the California Air Resources Board. They don't even have the guts to put this to a vote. And as we told you, and we're going to tell you again, there in the next segment, the California, CalMatters.org, you go read that website. A few days ago, they went through the massive impracticality that this would even work, starting with the lack of charging stations, a huge shortage of charging stations, and a huge lack of capacity of the electrical grid. And we know what bumbling fools are in charge of those issues. That would be the legislature and the governor who didn't want to touch. He didn't want to be responsible for the original ban to begin with. So I'll tell you more on that coming up on the Johnny Ken Show, KFI. I told you in the last segment that I just found this really funny that Glenn Youngkin, the governor of Georgia, governor of Virginia, found out that the last governor, Ralph Northam, had signed a bill which said that whatever California does with auto emissions, that's what we're doing. So when California banned gas-powered cars for 2035, suddenly Virginia had banned gas-powered cars for 2035. Whatever the California Air Resources Board said, the Virginia public had to go along with. So Youngkin says, no way, and they're going to introduce a bill next year so that Virginia will be in charge of Virginia's auto emission standards, not the boobs who run California Air Resources Board. And, you know, this is what happens with virtue signaling progressive politicians. Newsom wants to be the first and wants to be the leader. And then this Ralph Northam dope in Virginia, you know, Governor Blackface. Oh, well, I want to be second. I want to follow him because this is the righteous progressive thing to do. Without asking the Virginia public, without having the Virginia legislature vote on it, let them put their political careers on the line and vote on it. But then again, here in California, they don't even put their political careers on the line by publicly voting for this. They pass it off to the Air Resources Board, whom nobody knows. They meet in some secret dark cave somewhere out in the desert. And we're not familiar with any of these people. They don't appear on television very much. There are no public debates that we're aware of that are covered. And suddenly we're told, well, you can't have that gas-powered car anymore. And a lot of people's reactions are, really? Well, FNU. Who the hell are you? And really what's most important about this is that if you're going to do something drastic like this, just draconian, it ought to work. And rather than just rail about it, just ask questions. How's this going to work? They estimate that you need 1.2 million public charging stations in California. 1.2 million. You know how many we have? 80,000. 80,000. So we have, what, like 6% of the total that we need? Now, how does that work? We have 80,000, and a lot of those are broken. A lot of those were set up decades ago. A lot of them are slow. If they're old, they're slow. So that's another thing. In these stories, it doesn't even give you the details. It'll say 80,000, which sounds like a big number until you see we need 1.2 million, and who knows if that's right in the real world. And then there's the electrical grid. Now, pretty sure you're going to hear a lot about Flex Alert this week, right? Which is the government admitting, hey, we've really botched the system here. We don't have enough energy for you today. We don't have enough electricity. It's ration time. It's ration time. For all the times that Newsom brags about, the fifth largest economy in the world. Well, the other economies in the top 10 aren't rationing electricity. We are. Maybe Germany will soon because they did the same stupid boneheaded thing. They're still waiting for the wind to blow. And it's not blowing. But let's take the countries. Well, like France isn't having this problem because France has a ton of nuclear reactors. They have plenty of energy. We don't. We got rid of most of our nuclear reactors except for one. And now there's a fight over whether that's going to stay open. Obviously, don't burn coal. We closed many natural gas plants, and there were three more that were going to close. But Newsom is forced to keep them open. We're relying on the wind and solar phenomenon, except that's falling way short, and there's no way to store that energy. There is no effective way to store large amounts of electricity or the energy needed for the electricity. You can't store wind and solar. There's nowhere to put it yet. So the electrical grid over the next 20 years has to expand by at least 60%. And you know that estimate probably is an undercount. So if we don't have an electrical grid now, they have to ration power during the time that we most need it. It's going to happen when there's millions of electric cars plugged in. And we have 30 million cars in the state. What happens as each year goes by and there's more and more energy sucked up and less energy available? And I look all the time. What's the plan for building charging stations? What's the plan for expanding the electrical grid? There is no plan. There is no funding. There is no team of experts doing anything. It's just talk. It's just preening Newsom doing his virtue signaling. Of course, by time this all collapses, he's out of office, which is what happens with all this. It's like, you know, Gray Davis giving away billions of dollars for union pensions to government workers. He's almost 20 years out of office, so any financial collapses that happen, he might be dead. What does it matter? Newsom might be dead. What does it matter? They all leave time bombs behind. You know, it's like George Bush leaving the Afghanistan time bomb behind. And 20 years later, there's terrible tragedy trying to get out of there. These people are never pay the consequences in real time. So after they're long gone. Now we have more zero emission cars than any other state. But it's only 1.1 million, and we have 30 million registered cars. So that means 29 million are burning gas. It's not that popular. Many of the plug-in cars or electric cars are Teslas, and the wealthy enjoy their Teslas. It's a good toy if you're wealthy. Most other people can't afford it. And the lesser cars take a long time to charge and don't go very far. And they don't. Otherwise, you'd have one. Nationally, this whole electric car phenomenon is a dud. We have 43% of the nation's plug-in cars. So we have 43%. The other 49 states has 57%. These things are not selling around the country. They're too expensive. They take too long to charge. The range is too limited. And even with the gas increases, there is no big rush for them. So how are you going to force, you're supposed to force the car companies, the dealerships, to sell just in 3 years and 4 months, okay? One deadline is coming up soon. In 3 years or 4 months, 35%, over a third of the cars sold in California have to be electric. What if people don't buy? What if they just, you know, most people keep their cars like 6 years, but the cars themselves on average are on the roads for 11 years and more. You could keep your car for 11 years. They'll even last longer than 11 years, but people just like to change cars every 5 or 6. And there's always something cool and new and fun to buy. Well, what if it's just these rinky-dink electric cars? Okay, I'll just keep my gas-powered car. I'll just buy a used gas-powered car. I'll just ignore this nonsense until it goes away. I think that's likely to happen. Because by 2026, I mean, if we need 1.2 million charging stations by 2030, how many are we going to have by 2026? Very few. Because they're not building them. So what are we going to do? And this is all true, what I'm telling you. What are we going to do? I mean, this is honestly nothing but hype and cheap headlines and virtue signaling. There's no reality to it. There can't be. There's no energy. They want to close the nuclear plant. We'll get into that more as time goes on. All right, coming up on the John and Ken Show, this quiet quitting phenomenon. I think this explains a lot as to what's going on. Now, among all the absurdities that the pandemic has brought the world, one thing I've noticed, especially after everybody was supposed to go back to work and do their jobs again, is that people don't, or they do the minimum. And I found this whenever we have to call for help on the phone. For example, my wife today wanted to make a doctor's appointment, and I heard this with my own ears. It took 40 minutes. 40 minutes.
Oh, that's not bad.
Just to make the appointment.
Sometimes it takes hours to get things done like that. It's crazy.
That's normal?
Well,
I'd never heard
I don't know about an appointment, but I mean, if you're trying to get in touch with an airline or actually other things too, I mean, there's other examples that that I've come across as well, where we're just sitting on the phone forever. It's unbelievable.
I see her sitting on the phone forever. She handles a lot of the, you know, house business. And whenever I do stuff, it takes forever. And everybody on the other end of the phone sounds drugged, zombied. And when you call, they're constantly putting you on hold. They disappear for long periods of time.
Or you get disconnected after you're waiting such a long time, which is maddening.
She got disconnected twice. Oh. This was a single appointment. She just wanted to go to a specific center, you know, for the scan. And she ended up talking with 3 different people. The thing is, it wasn't an anomaly. It was everything that had been happening in our lives now for months. All the normal, you know, you get insurance. One of our kids renting an apartment. One of our kids having to get his car fixed after somebody banged him. All this stuff. Nobody comes through, and it's excruciatingly slow along the way.
You know, I went to a restaurant last week in my neck of the woods, and I was the only person in line, and the guy comes up to me and I had to order. It's one of those where you order and then they bring you your food.
Right.
So I asked one question, and then he kind of walks away and he starts putting together to-go orders. And I'm standing there, I'm waiting. And I finally turned to him, and he's joking with his coworkers, and he's just, you know, putting things together. And there's nobody behind me, so there's nobody waiting for their to-go yet. I said, excuse me, but can you take my order? Yeah, I'll be right there. And I waited, and I said, forget this. And I walked out. I got on my phone. I called the manager at that restaurant, and I said, you know, I just left your restaurant. I walked out. You've lost my business. And I explained what happened. She's like, oh, I'm sorry. I mean, that was it.
She doesn't care.
No, she doesn't care.
She doesn't care.
Not at all.
I went to pick up some food I ordered for my wife. Same situation. They give you a time online. I show up. I'm standing there for 10 minutes. I tell the woman, it's like, hey, I ordered this. Oh, okay. And then she wanders off, comes back, and I said, hey, I ordered this. It's not ready. Oh, okay. And then she whispers in someone's ear, and he nods. And I'm still standing there. And I said, look, I ordered this at this time for a reason. I've got to go. Oh, okay. And then she whispers again to the guy, and he finally comes up with the order. And it was just a sandwich and a salad, all right? It was. And they do that. They turn your back on you and disappear.
They don't care. I mean, really, they should wear T-shirts that say, I don't care, so you're not going to get great service, because everywhere I go, this is happening.
Yeah. And so the phenomenon is called quiet quitting. And she apparently there's comedy sketches about this online. It's where you could find a character named Veronica who says, okay, quiet quitting. Okay, the goal for today is taking 500 calls. No, we're going to do 50. And then she tells her boss, hey, it's 2022. Don't give me any extra work. And this is no joke. These comedy skits are representing how people really feel. Here's one guy, and this is for real. I'm trying to see if it's a guy or a woman. Oh, it's a she. Kelly Johnson. She worked as a chief content officer for Workology.com. Whatever the hell that is. She spent 5 years working to exhaustion at a tech company. And finally, she decided, I'm going to show up for work, but I'm not going to go above and beyond. It radicalized her. Once I mentally quit, no one noticed. I was putting 50% of my energy into just doing what it's in my job description. No one noticed. I continued to get promoted. I continued to get raises. I continued to get things added to my job description. Just didn't do them. There was a guy named Brian Creeley who came up with the term quiet quitting online. And he said people are rebelling against toxic work environments and long hours. So they put in the minimum instead of quitting. You do just enough not to get fired. And he goes, those of us who grew up in hustle culture, oh, that's what doing your job is. It's now called hustle culture, where you have a constant, incessant need to work, work, work. How about a need just to service the customer when they're standing 25 minutes waiting for you to make a sandwich?
Oh, no. That's crazy.
That's hustle
talk.
Culture now? Hustle culture is to make a doctor's appointment that takes 40 minutes? And he says this, the videos that one guy is making about quiet quitting has resonated with viewers of all ages. It clearly has struck a chord. Called quiet quitting, quitting in place. I suspect people have been doing it for a long time and they didn't have a term for it. Quitting in place. That means you go and you show up for your job and you sit there, but you don't actually do anything.
Well, why are people allowing this? Wait, because they're worried that if they fire you, then they're not going to be able to find somebody else to fill your job?
Right. They're not going to fire another guy to sit there and do nothing. How nuts is that?
Sad.
New York Post had a story that all this free government money created pro-lazy America. And it's about, you know, the billions of dollars, trillions of dollars that were printed. Let me see here. Oh, okay, on Reddit. People post this stuff on Reddit. They post and email screenshots of them quitting their jobs. But the real heroes on this Reddit site are idlers, people who stay in jobs doing the absolute minimum. Examples include someone who bragged about getting paid $80,000 a year to answer one or two phone calls. There you go. And an IT professional who created a simple script to perform their entire job for $90,000 a year. You've talked to these people in customer service, like they're reading a script. They are reading a script.
They are.
And no matter what you say to them, they just keep reading the script.
I've even called them out. I said, can you please just stop reading the script?
Oh, I've done that too.
It drives me insane.
No, they're passive aggressive to the point where they know you're going to start yelling. And then when you start yelling, they say, sir, please don't yell at me.
Or ma'am.
Ma'am, don't yell at me. Well, I get.
I know. I get the ma'am. I hate that.
Listen to this. The moderator is someone named Doreen Ford. She's 30 years old. Her job right now is a part-time dog walker. Well, she's burdened by that? She's 30 years old. She's walking dogs part-time. And she said the anti-work movement, is to reduce the coercive element of labor as much as possible by subverting capitalism. Great. So we have a part-time dog walker starting this movement online, and people are joining like crazy. And they think they have like a political movement here, that it's a noble righteous movement because they're undermining capitalism. How dare you? How dare you demand I work for my money? I don't know. Now this explains things. You know, every once in a while, there's an epiphany in the world makes sense. I don't know if these people officially know what they're doing, but I think you know how social trends spread. People see others getting away with it, and now with people working from home, you can get away with murder, right?
No one knows what you're doing when you're working at home.
Nobody does, and every one of them will say, "Oh yes, I'm working all day though. I'm doing more here than I would do in the office. Oh, of course.
I just don't see that.
No.
And we don't see that because we don't know unless we have cameras there.
No, you don't know. People can say anything, right?
Right.
What are you going to do? You don't know, so you can't challenge them. But just collectively, something has really shifted badly. More coming up. John and Ken Show. Well, this story just came across a couple of hours ago. Boy, this place is really turning into the Soviet Union. It's an Assembly Bill 257. It's got one of these phony, baloney titles, the Fast Food Recovery Act. When you hear that, the Fast Food Recovery Act, does that sound like after you get food poisoning, this is going to help you get back to health? It's supposed to... you know how the LA Times will slant this, improve and standardize working conditions for fast food workers. It would create a state fast food council. This would be a government agency to establish how much people get paid, what their working hours are, and what their conditions are. There's a government... Rather than the business saying, okay, here's the pay, here are the hours, here are the conditions, because they already have laws regulating minimum wage and what overtime rules are. They have, you know, safety regulations. But now this is like a super agency that's going to decide this, especially for the fast food industry. What is with this constant uproar over fast food people? They're low paid because it's a no skill, no education job. It's shaking a French fry basket. So you're going to get minimal pay. And if you don't like it, go somewhere else and work. There's 11 million job openings. And now at a lot of these places, you can get a job and quiet quit the job the same day and just sit there and not do anything. This passed in the Assembly. And it passed the Senate, and now it's going to Newsom's desk. And the original author of the bill is that whack job Lorena Gonzalez, who now works for a union. And she says, we're looking to give workers a voice on the job for workers in the fast food industry. So now there's going to be a state agency telling the businesses what... This is not even the legislature creating a minimum wage. This is a state agency. This is going to be like the California Air Resources Board we've been talking about. I'm just shocked by this. I mean, this is what the Soviet Union used to have. They used to have federal agencies that created the conditions for employment in all these different industries. It's whatever the Soviet government said at any given point. It wasn't a free market. A free market situation is and I don't know why this is such a difficult concept to understand and why anybody would object to it, is the employer sets the conditions and then you decide whether to accept it or not. And if the pay isn't enough, or the hours are too long, or the conditions you find to be onerous in some way, you simply go to another job. And you can't say, well, there aren't any good jobs around. There's 11 million of them. It's heavily opposed by the California Restaurant Association, the International Franchise Association, and the California Chamber of Commerce. And this was all the ethnic business organizations were against this, including the U.S. Black Chamber of Commerce, the Asian Pacific Islander Chamber of Commerce, the National LGBT Chamber of Commerce. They all wrote a joint letter saying vote no on this bill. So now the council has got rulemaking authority that bypasses the legislature. This is where California is going, is like the legislature. This is just like the crazy environmental bills that said no more gas-powered cars. Like the council could just say, hey, minimum wage is now $22 an hour. And if you don't like it, close your restaurant. That's nuts. That is absolutely nuts. This is what one-party rule does. Conway's here.
Ding dong with you. Yes, 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 yes. We've got a 15-day lawn watering restriction set to begin September 6th, affecting Beverly Hills, Burbank, Glendale, Long Beach, Pasadena, San Fernando, and Torrance. Can't water anything, man. 101 freeway closed in downtown L.A. after a person jumped from an overpass. No good. And then crews are working to contain a 100-acre fire. We'll talk about that, San Gabriel Dam. And then we're going to have this huge heat wave. I know you guys were talking about it earlier. But, man, that's got to wipe some people out of electricity. There's no way they have an ample supply.
Oh, yeah.
There's no way.
Barely have enough to get by.
Right. The last heat wave was like 94, mm-hmm. and they were telling everyone to shut everything off. This one's going to be 104.
Yeah, this is going to go on all week.
So. Yep. And for those who care, today is Michael Jackson's birthday. Isn't that wild?
For those who care.
Yeah.
There's nobody in this room.
I actually care? Yeah, yeah. I thought that was interesting. But how old would he have been? Let me see.
He would have been 63.
Okay, let's see. Michael Jackson was born in, let's see the Wikipedia coming up. He was born in 1958. So 58, 69, 64. 63, 64. Yeah, he'd be 64. Yeah.
64 years old.
64-year-old Michael Jackson. Wow, that's wild, huh?
Yeah, that is.
That's crazy, man. 64.
He's still a little kid in a lot of people's minds.
Yeah. So. He's still in a lot of kid. And
what was that?
He's still in the minds of a lot.
In the mind of a lot of kids. That's what I thought you said.
That's
sure.
What I meant.
Yeah, right.
That's right.
Okay.
All right, yeah. That's what I meant.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's what I heard. Conway's up next.
Oh, wait. Before we go, we got a second here. How old would Elvis Presley be today?
Let me see. He was 42 when he died. Died in 77.
He's born 1935.
87.
Wow. Elvis Presley would have been 87. That's wild. It's crazy, man.
You can do that all night. How old would the following dead people have been?
How old would Jesus Christ have been?
Oh, really old.
He would have been 2022?
Right.
I think.
How did you figure that out?
Isn't it? how old would he have been? I mean, BC, AD, I think he would have been
2022. Yeah.
God, he wears it well. That's an old man.
This is a great game show idea for the really slow. Conway's next.
That's right.
KFI, KOST, HD2, Los Angeles, Orange County, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Hey, Ken, did you know that gold is the only currency that's held its value since the dawn of money?
Well, I did. Thanks to our friends at Legacy Precious Metals, the most trusted name in gold investing.
Investing in gold protects you against inflation and gives you a hedge against stock market volatility.
Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or download your free investor's guide now at buylegacygold.com. That's buylegacygold.com.
When it comes to a thriving career, everyone could use a little support, especially when it comes to transitions. At LHH, we're committed to personalized support, insights, and resources that lead to more job opportunities. No matter what role a professional has in your organization, our services offer an experience that fits each individual. And for organizations, LHH provides consultative support and guidance through the entire outplacement or career transition process. It's outplacement reimagined. Visit LHHtalent.com. Today.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/Parity Flex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.